Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, hallelujah, praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name. Through your Son, we come before you on this holy Sabbath day. As always, Heavenly Father, bowing the knees of our heart before you and beseeching you through your Son to please give. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day of life that you've given to each and every one of us, our loved ones. We ask you, Heavenly Father, through your Son, to continue extending to each and every one of us your grace, your mercy, your compassion. And we ask you to forgive us, Heavenly Father, for the sin we commit against you knowingly and unknowingly. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to cleanse us by the blood of your Son of our iniquity, that we may all stand before you in purity, in holiness, and righteousness. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, we humbly and we sincerely ask you to strengthen each and every one of us individually, in heart and mind, in those areas where you see we have been weakened, Heavenly Father. Gracious and merciful Father, lead us and guide us by your Spirit this day, each and every day of our lives, that we may continue in your word above all things, Heavenly Father, that we may grow in love and grace and mercy and compassion one toward another. We ask these things, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Yahushua, because through him you have promised us all things. Therefore, help us, those who are suffering mentally, emotionally, physically, that we may all continue in the way. Gracious and merciful Father, we would ask for a sign from you that we can be fully assured that you are with our people, uniting us in mind, in purpose, and in goal, that we may all stand strong, that we may all stand firm, that we may not waver to the right or to the left, but that we may all remain on the narrow and straight path upon which you have set our feet. Uplift our hearts, uplift our minds, as you brought our forefathers out of Egypt, that we may see your glory and behold you through your Son and through those whom you have called and entrusted with your Torah. In the name of Yahushua, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, we give praise to you. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Zura, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah, all may be seated. And how is everybody doing today? Amen. Welcome once again to Being Na Torah. And we'll be discussing, continuing, rather, Shemut, or Exodus. But before we get into what we'll be discussing today, the homework, and before we discuss the homework, we wanted to do a brief review, because last week we were discussing different ways that we can compare, okay, according to the Torah. And one of those ways that we looked at, or that we at least discussed, is similarity of story. Because what you'll find, common themes that run throughout Torah. Okay, let me fix this word right here. That's too close to. Similarity of Torah, of story. And again, when you have similar themes running throughout the scriptures, they're there for a reason. You know, we discussed briefly a book that was mentioned years ago when I began walking in this way. It was called The Passover Plot. And the author, his intention was to try to show how the followers of the Messiah basically patterned the story of the Messiah after the life of Joseph, which is exactly what the Creator, not the disciples, but the Creator himself had done. Okay, so you see a similarity of story, number one. What we looked at last week when we did a brief study on the term Shemut, we looked at word formation. You know, this is another way that we can make comparisons. And all of this that we're discussing, let me just back up for 1 second, is based on looking at the word at face value. And when we look at the word at face value, what that simply means is that we're not just looking at it from King James Version or any other version, but we're starting to look behind and look at the Hebrew, okay, or Ivri, because that was the language that the Torah was originally written in. And when we can look at that, just to make sure that what we're seeing in the English is correct, because in many cases, it's not. So when we can see certain terms being used, certain words, and the formation of those words, we can, as we did last week, see a revelation. Okay? And last week was just a brief example, and we only looked at the term Shemut as it was used in the scroll or the book of Exodus. Now, if you were to broaden that and look at the word throughout the Tanakh, then you can see much more. Okay? But for the purpose of last week, that was just, again, an example to show you how you can use the word formation. And the next one, as far as comparison, you also have numeric values, because with each word, there is a numeric value. As was mentioned, not only can the Torah be read, it can also be calculated. You know, ever so often, we may mention numeric values of different terms. You know, so you have to be really careful with this, because when you look at, and as far as numeric values go, what they refer to that as in the Hebrew language is gematria. And the term gematria is, you can see that it is a relative of the term geometry. Okay, so that there's that relation there, gematria, geometry, et cetera, pertaining to the numeric values. But with gematria, there are some things that they do which, personally, I think they go too far. You know, basically, if you're going to look at numeric values, it's best, first and foremost, to stick with the basic numeric values before you start to, you know, venture off into other forms of calculation. But anyway, these are just some of the examples of how we can compare Torah. All right. So that being said, let's get to the homework. Now, the question for homework was to look at the names, and does anything stick out regarding the names of the sons of Yisrael. That was for Yehovah. So, I'm laughing for those who are not here. We have majority sisters in here. We have one brother, and I'm not going to put all of the pressure on you. But did you get a chance to look up anything?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I felt like I needed more context, but I just went with, I saw that the names have two root words, two parent root words. They're made up of two parent root words.
Okay.
Most of them.
Okay.
And I started putting in, the translation, I guess, of the root words beside it, and that's the path that I was on with that.
Okay.
That's the context that I latched on to.
Okay. Right. So, and just to back up for a second, you said that you noticed that in some of the words that there were more than one word combined to make that name.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. And that's true. You know, that in some of the names, that's something that can jump out at you. And when you go back to the parent root system, which is the two-letter root, you can see that there are two terms that are put together to make the one name. Now, first thing we want to do is we want to look at the name Yisrael, okay? Because that's the first name of importance, Israel, all right? So when we look at that name, and I'll use the modern Hebrew for this, Yod, you have the Shin, you have the Resh, and you have the Aleph. And the Lamed. Aleph and your Lamed. And basically, as we discussed in previous classes, the Yod has the pronunciation of the sound E. That's why we recently started pronouncing it Yisrael. Okay. Now, we already know what this is, the Aleph and the Lamed. That's the Hebrew word for mighty one or power, which has been translated as God in Holy Scripture. But we want to take a look at this part right here, because what you find, you have some people who refer to this name as Yashar'ah, okay, Yashar'ah, opposed to Yisrael. And when you look at, matter of fact, if you were to translate this according to how they do in English, the word that you will come up with is Jasher, as in the book of Jasher, okay? Now, you can actually find that term, right, in the concordance and lexicon. And the word Yashar, it means to be straight or to be upright, okay? So you can look at it, and I'm not going to say that there's an error in looking at the term this way. I believe this is one of them when we look at word formation, as we were just talking about, because you can see that word within the name Yisrael. You can see the interpretation upright of Mighty One, okay, or the straight of Mighty One, right? So you can definitely see that. And when you look at this word Yashar, there's another term that you're also going to see when we get a little further into the names that basically shares the same root, okay? And that word is Asher or Asher. You know, the only difference is you change the Yod to an Aleph and you have the name Asher. And we look at the word Asher in, as far as the definition, it is another term that means to be straight in the sense of going, in a particular direction. All right? So why do we refer to this term Yisrael opposed to Yashar'al like a lot of other people do? Well, one example that you would go to substantiate that would be in Bereshit or Genesis chapter 32 and in verses 27 and 28, which reads, coming from when Yaakov or Jacob was wrestling with that angel, all right? So there came a point in verse 27, and he said unto him, this is the Melech, or the Melech, the angel speaking to Yaakov, what is thy name? And he said, Yaakov. And he said, thy name is Yaakov, but Israel. Now, right after that, he gives a reason. For as a prince thou hast power with mighty one and with men, and hast prevailed. So this is the reasoning behind why he was called Israel. But if you look up the term, now what's interesting in the English, as a prince hast thou power. But when you look at the word in the Hebrew language, it comes from 8280, okay? Now that word in Hebrew is shara, sounds similar to Sarah, because it's basically spelled the same way, okay? So, and even with that part being in there, because there's that connection based on the parent root, our word formation there, that now do when we think about Israel in connection with Sarah. What does that do for us? And we'll look at something later. Just put that on the side as food for thought for right now, okay? But the term 8280, it means to prevail. Because when you break the word down to the shin and the resh, and you just have that, well, this is a term that means a prince. And it also has the connotation, when you think about a prince, it also has the connotation of ruling and having power. Okay, the sin and the rest. And we're going to see an example of that as we go further today. So when we pronounce the name Israel, we are considering what the scripture says when it says, again, in the Hebrew word, by the way, let me put this up here for you, as it is written in that particular passage. Erase all of this. And talk about word formation. It's spelled Shin Resh Yod Tav. Now, based on what we learned about the Yod being infixed, okay, if the basic root of this term implies to be a prince or to have power, and you add the Tav to it, and now you add the Yod within the word itself, which is considered an infix, now you have one who is prince, or one who is power, or one who prevails. Okay, you see that? Based on, and we're kind of touching on some of the studies that we've had in the past and connected to the Hebrew language. That's why it's good just to get that basic understanding about how different letters are used and how, when they are placed in certain words, what it indicates. For example, if you place a wav at the beginning, we understand in certain contexts it means and, whereas the hey is the definite article, it means the. Okay, so we understand those things. The yo, in this case, whenever it's infixed, it implies one who is. So that's the word that was used there. So when it says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Yaakov, but Israel, for, the word translated for is ki in Hebrew. It says ki shari, with mighty one and with men, and has prevailed. All right? So with that, and go back now briefly to what we were discussing about the name, the term shem, and how what that basically points to, it points back to, and in addition to what a person is called, it points back to the character of an individual. It points to the essence and the spirit of an individual. So what is this telling us about Israel or Israel? What is that telling us? The character and the essence of this person, first and foremost, but he had offspring. That means that with each son that he has, each son carries his seed. That means whatever essence, whatever character that was in Israel is now going to be manifest in these 12 sons. Now we get to the 12 names, okay? Because he called them certain things for a certain reason, Okay? Now, we can look at it initially at face value, and we can learn some things, okay? Anybody have any questions? Start looking at some of these names. Oh, and as far as the homework, and if anything jumped out at you, we're going to touch on one particular thing that we want to, you know, share. But let's look at these names first. First name is Reuben, or Reuben, as we often call it. Translated, see a son. So this is an example of what Brother Avi was talking about. There are two terms connected. The first part, Reu, that's the part coming from the word Ra, which means to see. And, of course, we know Ben is a son. So now we have to think. Here's this man, Yisrael. Now, of course, the name Yaakov has been changed. First son he has, there's this message. See, a son. Now, at face value, what does that mean? Now, if we go back to the story, I believe it was Leah. And one of the things that she is because she was the least favorite of the two wives, it's like, see, I've given you a son. Because a son was what men wanted. Why? I mean, for the obvious reason, because with a son, the son is the house continuing or the family continuing. They carry that seed. So her firstborn being a son, see, I've given you a son. That's why his name is called Reuben. That's that face value. But what is that telling us now on a larger scale? When you think about Yisrael, what is the message there? Which is now when we get into the hint. You know, we talked about you have Peshat, which is the simple, which is the straightforward face value. Okay, you have Remez, which is the hint. We were talking about Darash earlier, which is a comparative. But when you get back to the Remez, the hint, what's being hinted at in these names? See, a son. He's telling a son. Now, just for example's sake, just to look at this message here. We're going to look at the first son, okay? And we're going to drop all the way down, and we're going to look at the last son. Another name based on two words being put together. You always see Ben Yamin or Benjamin. Okay, you always see that. You always know the first part of that name is a son. But the last part, Yamin, it means of the right or the right hand. Now think about that. Take the first son and what he was called, okay, and the last son and what he was called. There's a message there. See, a son, son of the right hand. What does that mean? What is the Creator teaching us? And right now, we just taking little hints based on the simple definition of these names. That's it. Now, another son, Shimon, or Simon, okay, means hearing. Now, as we go through, let's make some connections real quick. We're talking about Israel, okay? We're talking about the names given to Israel, not just what these people were called. Now we're talking about the character. Not just of each individual, we're talking about the character of Israel. Now, when I say Israel or Yisrael, we're not just talking about Yaakov, whose name was changed to Yisrael at this point. We're talking about Yisrael on a greater scale. Now, through these different names, what it is that we're actually seeing, we're seeing what it is, what it takes to become Yisrael. That's what he's telling us by these names. So it has a connection. See a son. See, now let's look at it this way. when we look at it from the connection where Leah said, see a son, as if I'm presenting something to you, we can also look at it in the context of we see, in the sense of we actually visualize, we perceive a son. You understand what I'm saying? We see, matter of fact, that's the way I got it up on the board. We see a son. We can see that. And not only that do we see a son, we see the son of the right hand. You understand? He's laying out for us what makes a person in Israel. Think about the passage that we read last week when we were looking at Shemut and how it was utilized in the book of Exodus or that scroll. And initially, it lays out in the first verse, these are the sons, these are the names of the sons of Israel, right? Then it goes on and lists all the names. But then how it was used, it appears next, dealing with Leawi. So I wanted to make a distinction. There's some significance to Leawi being pointed out, okay? The reason why is because everything after that has something to do with the names being written on those two stones, the two onyx stones, remember that? The names that appeared on the breastplate, okay, that was worn by the high priest one time a year when he goes into the Holy of Holies. That was the message. That was the focal point. So we also talked about when we think about the doctrine that's being circulated today, well, all Israel is black, Hebrew, Israelite, and all this type of stuff, but that's not so. Because we understand when we looked at one of the letters that Brother Shaul wrote, he says, before you had Messiah, you were strangers, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now with the Messiah, huh? That means that they see the Son of the right hand. Now with the Messiah, you can be a part of this group. You understand? Y'all see what he's laying out here? So not only that part, because another thing that's going to show that you are a part of Israel, another characteristic you're going to exhibit is that you hear. That's why I say, Shema Israel. Shema Israel. Because see, if you Israel, one of the things you're going to do, you're going to start listening attentively, intelligently. You're supposed to be listening. Even Mashiach, when he came, right? He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. What that mean? That means you got a characteristic of these people. Shemun, you're hearing. Now, we can look at why I was given that face value. We already know Leah. She asked the Creator. And he blessed her with another son. He's heard me. So we're going to call him Shemun because the Creator, he heard me. See? That's why. But not only does it mean that the Creator hears us, it also, we hear him. So take your mind to when Brother Shaul was talking about faith, right? He said, faith comes by hearing. That's what he said. Hearing by the word of Yah. Think about that. So he's laying out the characteristic. In these 12 sons, he's laying out the characteristics of his people. So let's look at another son. Leawi. Which we already know his name means attached. Okay. Now that shows connection. That takes us right back to this part. Our connection. See a son. Son of the right hand. That's what connection. And we're going to see another example of that as we go a little further. Okay. Everybody see what's being built upon when you get into Binah, Torah. You know, not just understanding the teachings, but now building on our journey. Okay. Let's look at. Now this is one of those. I'm going to save Yahuda for last. Car. And the way they have it in the Hebrew, it should be pronounced Yisachar. Yisachar. Issachar, Issachar. What that means, he brings reward. Okay? Think about that. How does this people, or let's bring it back to us. How do we bring reward? How does Israel bring reward? Think about it. Think about something that the Messiah said, that salvation is of the Yahudi. Think about that. See, when we talked last week, we looked at a passage, all Israel shall be saved, and that is absolutely true. But what we have to make, we have to make a distinction. Just because you are biologically connected to the people doesn't guarantee your salvation. That's what we got to understand. How do we know that? I mean, we have examples in Holy Scripture. Think about everything that Israel went through in the wilderness. It was just them. I mean, there was a mixed multitude. Okay? Even at that time, that mixed multitude was supposed to be considered one of the nation. How do we know that? Yahweh said that there's one Torah to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourns among you. It's one. He said that the stranger shall be as one who is native to the land. So you don't look at whatever this person is, whatever country he comes from, if he has accepted the covenant and has entered into the commonwealth of Israel, they're no longer looked at as whatever they used to be. They're considered Israel. Okay? So that when you look at the mixed multitude being out there in the wilderness with them, they also are Israel. All right? So now, in the wilderness, whenever they went contrary to the ways of the Most High, some of them died. Biologically connected. Some of them died. He's teaching them. Not all Israel, biologically speaking, is going to make it in. But that everybody who does make it in, they make it in because they are connected to the people bearing these characteristics. So how do we bring reward? We're bringing something that was entrusted to us and nobody else. Torah. See? What advantage have the Yahudim? What is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. I can give you a laundry list of reasons why. But the main thing, or the most important thing, like he said, because they were entrusted with Torah. That's, nobody else has Torah. Everybody has bits and pieces of it. That's what they had. But the fullness of it was given to a particular group of people. All right? But anyway, so you have these characteristics. He brings reward, Yisachar. You have Zebulun. Whose name means habitation. Habitation. Now, what is that? I mean, that's basically where you reside. Think about that. Think about when the Creator, via Mashiach, he said, he that abides in me. Think about that. He that abides in me. See? This is what Isha, this is one of the characteristics. Where do you reside? Where do you abide? Where do you take up residence? All of these different names that he's given, they were given to teach us something. Brother Shahul said, those things written aforetime, written for our learning, not only so that we know what these people were called, not only so that we can, you know, the individual characteristics of these people, but he's on a grander scale, he's laying out what makes us Israel. See? What it is that makes us Israel. All right. Knock some of this down and get to a couple more names and then we're going to keep it moving. Now you have Naphtali, my wrestling. Think about that. Now, what this talks about, somebody sent out a text, I believe it may have been earlier this week. And in the text, if I remember correctly, it was talking about what we have to go through in the world. Okay? Being a part of Israel, one of the things that you have to do, you got to struggle. Okay? You have to fight. But see, what we understand with this particular characteristic, as Brother Shaul come to emphasize or build upon, he said, our fight is not with human beings. When he said, flesh and blood. That's what he said. See, the wrestling that Israel undergoes is a spiritual battle. See? So we, brother, teaching last night, Ariyah, in his lesson, one of the things he was talking about, when you can see certain spirits on people. You can see it. If Abba opened your eyes up and allows you to see that. You can see certain things on people. You know, and we sometimes we don't realize the power or the ability that Abba is able to give to us, because that's what we're dealing with. When we come across different people in our comings and our goings, guess what? We're not battling with this fleshly individual. We're battling with that spirit, that mind, or even sometimes the spirit behind the mind. That's what we're dealing with. And sometimes, just imagine, if you are the only true Israelite at your job, and let's say your job has a staff of 200 to 500 people, okay? You as an individual are coming into contact with all these different spirits every single day. Now, when you work in, for example, if you work at a hospital, or not just a hospital, I can't limit that. Some places where people work, it's just that people that work there, and there's no public that comes in and out of it. But whenever you work at a hospital, a school, or any place where you have people from the outside coming in, that just multiplies the amount of spiritual interaction that you're going to have. You never know what people are bringing with them. So my wrestling, that's why I said through much tribulation, shall we enter into that kingdom? We have to fight to maintain what Abba has given, because I believe it was brought out fairly recently. When you think about salvation, salvation is a free gift. But it still takes works to maintain that salvation. Like the example Rabbi gave years ago. Somebody give you a car. I mean, the car is free of charge. But that don't mean the tire is not going to need rotation at some point. That doesn't mean you're not going to have to get an oil change at some point. That means you got to put work into it. Same thing with our salvation. That's why Brother Yaakov James, that he said, you show me your faith without works. He says, what I do, I show you that I believe that Messiah Yahushua laid his life down, freed me from my sins by my works. That's how I show you. I believe I've been freed from sin. Therefore, I am an obedient servant now. But see, the world has been deceived into thinking that what the Messiah came to do is just do away with the commandments, and now it's a free-for-all. You can go out there, you can do whatever you want to do. That's not what he said. He told that woman caught in adultery. And why was that the scenario? Why couldn't it have been a person that's caught in murder? Why wasn't it a person that was caught in stealing? Huh? Or lying. Mm-mm. It was a woman caught in adultery. See, that's supposed to be symbolic of somebody. And that adultery points to worshiping and serving all of these other entities. You're worthy of that, the Messiah said, when you're out there and you're serving the gods and the goddesses of the people. That's what he said. He said, you're right, killer, if you're without sin. Because he understood also, everybody that was bringing this person before him, they too were guilty. And they also knew it, because that's why they dropped the stone and they went about. But what did he say to them? In spite of the fact that you are worthy to be killed for your actions. He said that in so many words. He said, I don't condemn you. He said, where are your accusers at? She said, I don't have any. He said, go and sin no more. the command. You're free to go. This is my grace. This is my mercy. But now, don't break any more of my commandments. That's the part. All these religions, and listen, he is a mighty one of love. The love is shown because we deserve death. We're supposed to die. But he said, all you got to do, accept the salvation that I gave to you and start walking in my word. And I'll, you know, you'll be good with me. We're all right. But see, they got the mindset that they can go out there and just believe in this sacrifice and do what they want to do. That's the deception. Okay? But anyway, that's our struggle. See, our struggle is not being a part of this system that we love so much. That's our struggle. To maintain that walk with the Most High, to maintain the salvation that we've been given. That's why Brother Dawid, he says in one place, thy Holy Spirit from me. That implies if we received it, it can be retrieved. That's the implication behind those words. When you come across passages where it says how names were blotted out, the implication is, hey, you can have your name written in that book, but just like you got a pen, you got an eraser, and it can be blotted out. See, that's the part that people do not recognize. And it's blotted out not because of something that the Most High did, it's blotted out because of choices that we have made. Okay, so Asher, I wanted to ask a question with this one. I really wanted to talk about this next part, though. But just keep that thought in mind, Hacky. I'm going to leave that. There's a question I would put on my mind for the Torah portion today. And it's pertaining to happiness. But what we see here, one of the characteristics of the people of the Most High is happiness. And I guess I can ask this much. How many of us are happy? How many of us with our life? Think about it. How many of us are truly happy? Or is there something else that we're looking for? Let's leave that on your mind. We'll pick that up, Most High willing, in the next part. All right? Now we come to Dan. Now this name is significant. Okay. Now, of course, we understand the name to be a judge. Now, when we think about a judge, this I want to take a look at the parent root for. Because you have the Dalet and you have the Nun. You have the door. And then you have that seed, which represents life. So you think about the judge. Don't think about a judge in the sense of you're talking about now the judge being the one who is the door of life. That's what the judge is. Even if you look at the, you know, the door to the seed. That's a testimony right there. See, in so many ways, this connects to those first two names. He's letting us know on a grand scale, the seed is going to come through these people. Brother Shaul testified to that. Matter of fact, that passage I do want to go to real quick. Anybody have any questions about anything? Now, in Romans, I believe is what I'm looking for. Romans 9. And he says something along the lines of Romans 9. Okay. Here it says in verse 3. It says, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Messiah, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And when it goes down, he names several things, who are Israelites, to whom pertains their doctrine, the glory, the covenants given of the law, the service, and the divine promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came. that part right there. When he said, and of whom as concerning the flesh Messiah came, he's looking at Israel as a nation, and this is the group of people that the Messiah came through. So you can even look at it from that perspective. So it's not just judge in that sense. You can look at it as the entranceway for the seed of the Most High. But you can also narrow it down a little bit when you're looking at what we're supposed to be. We possess the door to life as a people. That's his word with the seed. Huh? That's his word. Okay? Another one that's very significant because this deals with another parent root. And you look at the term God, which means fortune. Now, it means fortune in the sense of the gimel being your foot. And a dalet representing the door also means movement because the door moves. You can look at it back and forth, up and down, however. So the foot and movement, what that came to mean to those in ancient times, you're gathering. So if you're gathering, what are you going to eventually do? You're going to amass a fortune or wealth. How many of us feel that we are wealthy? You know?
Not money, but other things.
But even with money, what is real wealth? See, what we've been indoctrinated to believe is that wealth is, for example, this past week, every day, different news pops up on my phone. So one day, it popped up on my phone. Apple has hit the $1 trillion mark. Apple, iPhone, iPad, all of that stuff has hit the $1 trillion mark. And I think it was along the lines of that's the first business that actually hit the $1 trillion mark. So people, they think being the head of a $1 trillion worth company, that's wealth. Is it really? See, and that takes me back to a story that we learned years ago. And I think that the reality of that story, because we don't have physical wealth, like the brother was pointing out, physical wealth, then we're not really wealthy. But the waters that all the yachts sit on, do we believe that our Father owns all of that? Do we believe that's our Father first and foremost? See, I think that's where the disconnect comes, not really believing that our Heavenly Father, Yah, is actually our Father. You look at the genealogy of Messiah in the book of Luke, and it traces back to Adam, and it says Adam was the son of God. All humanity stemmed from him. But there was a disconnect. There was a fall. There was a division. See? Now you have those who serve the Most High, those who don't. You have disobedient sons, and you have obedient sons and daughters. Okay? So when you think about wealth, think about the story of the prodigal son who had it all. See, he points to the disobedient son, the son who wants to go out there and intermingle with all the affairs of the world. It's not that he didn't have it. He had it. But what we oftentimes do, we leave what we had. We got wealth. That's why I would put on my heart to send out that text earlier this week. Do we understand we have wealth? The fact that you breathe, and do you know how you can't go to the store and buy? You go to the doctor, you have been diagnosed with a fatal illness, we're giving you 6 months. There's no place on the earth you can go to buy, look, I want to get 6 more months. I want to get another year. You can't buy life. Something as valuable as what life is, we take for granted. The fact that you woke up, you're wealthy. How many people didn't wake up today? When you think about life, it's priceless. You can't put a price tag because $1 trillion company, Apple can't even buy it. They can't provide it. Yet we don't think about the fact that we have life. I may not have all the finest meats stored up in my refrigerator or the finest foods in my cabinet, but that I have something to eat this morning. Huh? Did you wake up with a roof over your head? Even if you didn't wake up, even if you woke up in the street, you woke up. If you woke up and you got pain shooting all through your body, you're still here, though. I've been letting you feel that pain because he's trying to teach you something. Because you don't know. I mean, and it's a simple thing. I can only imagine what somebody who has pain all the time go through. That time when my hip was hurting, you don't know how the talk that I had with Iva. Why is this happening to me? You know? And then the same question, well, why not you? Who are you that you should not experience having some pain every now and then? Who are you? Every time something goes wrong, what I perceive to be going wrong in my life, it makes me go to the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong? Any little thing that happens to me, what am I doing? Because I always feel like it's a punishment whenever something goes wrong. But sometimes it doesn't happen because he's trying to punish you all the time. Sometimes it's that he wants to, maybe he wants you to sit down and not be so mobile so he can talk to you. Man, you're moving around too much. You're doing too much to me a little bit. Maybe he knows once I touch that hip of yours, maybe you're going to turn to me. You want to have a conversation with me because there's some things I got to tell you. That otherwise, you're going to be so interested in this thing here or that thing there. Now I got your attention. And this is just an example, you know. But anyway, how many of us believe that we are wealthy? I mean, when you talk about having a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that's your father, that's the entire purpose why Messiah came. Don't call me a good master. He said, there's none good but the Father. Even though I know who I am and what I represent, but my intention is to turn you back to the Creator who bought me for. See? So do we have that mindset that Abba is actually our father? We have a biological father. Surpasses that, because me, I grew up without a father, a biological father that I knew. In my household, my grandfather was the head of the household. And he died when I was 11, I think. 11, I was about to, how old was I, 1979, about 80. I was 10 years old. I was 9 years old. Huh? What'd you say? I was 8 years old? Oh, you was 8 years old. Okay. 1980, I was about to turn 10 years old, 1980. But anyway, that was it. Then I was the only man in the house. So I had various people. My cousins would come in, you know, stay periodically. But I never really had a father figure until I came to service. And then Rabbi became that father figure. And then that when you walk a little bit and then you learn something, that you realize that he actually is your big brother. And there's an actual father that's your father figure. You know, which is why the scripture says he gave us the spirit of his son, whereby we can say now, Abba, Father. See, he's making that connection. And see how that ties us back right back to Leowi? He's building that family, restructuring that family connection. Okay, so being wealthy, understanding who we serve. And what I was saying, you're right in saying we may not have physical wealth, but when we understand that whatever we need, our supplies, how we ain't wealthy. I don't have to have a Maybach to get me back and forth. If I'm riding a bike, it can get me from point A to point B. If I have to walk, you got your strength on your legs to walk, it's getting you from point A to point B. Even if you got one of them motorized wheelchairs, you got something to get you where you need to go. The point is, your every need is being provided. So how are we not wealthy when our every need is being provided? How are we not wealthy? Okay. Last two. Now, these two have a very significant connection. Then we're going to move on from the names of the sons of Yishmael to I'm going to write the names up on the board. Yes, Yahuda. And Yusuf. Good, how to write my my final pay. Yusuf. Now, out of all the names of the sons of Israel, these are the only two that incorporate the name of the Most High. Now, as Bible students and having that inquisitive mind that Abba gives us, the question we ask ourselves is why? How come all of them didn't have some variance of the name of the Most High? Why were these two picked up? Well, think about it for a minute. And when you look at the formation, again, world formation, and what we're going to do, we're going to compare how these names are written. Now, we're going to look at this name in another form just to see if this one. Now, in Psalms chapter 81 and 5, right? 81 and verse 5. Now, I'm not sure if it appears that way in the King James Version. I did come across a version that had it written differently than what we normally would see it, like Joseph. But it reads, "He appointed it in Yahusuf for a witness. When he went through the land of Mitzrayim, I heard a language that I did not know." So this name, and if you even when you look it up, number it has a different number than 3130, where you'll find Yusuf. It's 3084. And when you look that up in the Strong, it says a fuller form of Yusuf. A fuller form. So the fuller form of Yusuf is this. Yod, Wah. You have your Samet and your Pei. Okay? Now, the difference between, now, this was, now we have to ask this question. Now, if this is the fuller form, why does this appear as this? How come it's just not Yahusuf all the way through the scriptures? And if it's this, the majority of the time, why did he put in there just this one time, Yahusuf? And these are the questions that we ask, you know, when it comes to, if we're talking about Shemut, Wale Shemut, and these are the names. So now, the difference between this form and this form is this letter right here. It's missing. The He. Now, see, but the He represents, you look at the pictograph, that's the man with his arms raised in the presence of a great sight, and we should behold. Okay? It's present in this one. But see, this name, it's going to be showing a little something different. Okay? But when it comes to Yusuf, it's teaching us something. Okay? He's letting us know in this form, and our people probably say, okay, you keep saying it's teaching us something. We don't want to say it, but it's teaching. All right. In this form, it's letting us know that originally this is how the name was written. This is the fuller form. The fact that this is missing, showing this. Let me put this up here. Yo. Because, see, we talked about this before. Well, hey, we talked about this before. The tetragrammaton. This is a perfect segue into the next part of what we're going to be discussing. The tetragrammaton, the four-lettered name of the Most High, all right? Very important, which we're going to see scripturally why it's important. But it tells a story, okay? This first letter, the Yod, this represents the Father, okay? The Yod represents the Father. The Yod is that hand, that working hand, that creative hand that brings forth everything else. So you can look at this name, right? And you can see that how the Father created hey, wow, hey, which is actually a word. Hawa, hawa. That's the word, which means life. Okay? The parent root of this word, hey, wow, hey, is the hey and the hey, which is just the letter itself, hey. If I were to write the parent root, let me write it this way for you. Hey, wav, hey. The wav is the vowel point that has been added to the parent root of hey, hey. So you take that out, and what you have is the letter hey, how it's spelled, hey. That's how you spell it. It's just two hey's. Okay? That's the parent root. That's the letter itself. So what he did, he created life. He brought forth exister, which is why when we get to his name, you have the yod and the hey. Okay? That's the name Yah, which we'll look at that later too. All right? But he's showing us something. Now, with this, we're still in the story. This first hey, because you got two of them. This first hey represents the word in its first estate. Okay? Because when we go to Yahuchanan 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with Mighty One, the Word was Mighty One. Okay? Father, who we understand is Mighty One, brought forth the Word. Okay? And this Word, he gave the task of creating everything else. But this very same Word, which was called by this name, Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey, okay? In that state, could not do everything that the Father wanted him to do. So it necessitated the Word becoming flesh. So when you look at the name Yahusef, this is the representation of that. That's why he just wanted to give us an indication in this verse that the fuller form of Yusef is Yahusef. That's for learning purposes. I'm teaching you that it is part of a fuller term. So I'm going to use this term most of the time because what I want people to focus on, see a son, son of the right hand. How that word became flesh, and he showed it to us in the Hebrew language by removing this letter from the name Yusuf, who was pointing to, like we were talking about, the Passover plot. He used that man's life to lay out exactly what the Messiah was going to go through. But he showed us by way of the formation of this name. I'm going to lose the hey, because now it's the Father and the Son. Because we don't see Yahushua the same way. When the Word became flesh, what we understood and knew to be Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey, is different now. It then took on flesh now. So now, keep that thought in mind, because that takes us back to this one. Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey. You still see the name there. You got your Yod, you got your Hey, you got your Wav, you got your Hey. But the only difference is, it's this letter. So this letter has been placed right in the, somewhat of the middle, not exactly in the middle, but right towards the end of the name of the Most High, Yod Hey Wav Hey. Think about it. So if this points to the Father, points to the Word, and this Word eventually becomes the Son, that means this is this letter representing the entrance. Because the door also represents the entrance. Because see, what the Creator had to do, remember, like we talked last week, or not, if not last week, the week before. When you talk about the physical realm and how everybody that's born into this physical world is bound to the physical realm, see, the Creator is totally separate and distinct from the physical world. There is no, absolutely no connection that the Creator has to the physical world. The only way that there can be a connection to the physical world, he had to enter the physical world. And he couldn't just come down like you look at the story of the three visitors to Abraham. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 18, it says that three men came to Abraham, correct? Later on in the story, we find out that one of those three men was Yahweh. It says that. And Yahweh stayed back to talk to Abraham. The other two men, they left. We find out in the next chapter that those two men were angels because they went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. But they initially are said to be three men. But we understand they came in the form of men, but in actuality, they were not men. They were spiritual beings who came in the form. That's different. For the work that the Most High had to be done, it couldn't just be him coming in the form of a man. He actually had to become a man, which is why in this name, Yod-Heh-Wav-Dalet-Heh, he's letting you know, Yahuda. Okay? Yahuda. That's going to be my entrance point. Not only if you look at Israel on a grand scale, the Dalet Nun, the door of the seed. He's coming through the nation of Israel. Now, in this name, what he did, he narrowed it down, and he said, I'm going to come through this particular son, Yahuda. And we're going to see that even in the lesson for Torah portion today, how Yahweh works things out and how he makes his connections. Okay? Anybody got any questions about this? The knowledge of mighty ones brought something to my attention last week, and I want to touch on that. Everybody doesn't understand, and that's fine. I get that. Sometimes, and I gave this example before, I'm not sure if it was to the larger group or just talking to the brothers. I remember times when Abba made me aware of different things. And I'm, yes, hallelujah, you know, because I believe I got this great revelation. Then I happened to come across something that Rabbi taught years ago, and he said the same thing. It's like, wow. It took me that long to come to understand what he already saw back then. I say that to say this. Continue. You're not going to get everything. How many times have we came across passages, and we talked about this at the service last week when it was brought to our attention. And the Messiah said, Do y'all not understand? He's talking to his Talmudim. Do you not understand? He's not talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he's talking to the 12 that was with him all the time. Do you not understand? That's okay. Since y'all don't understand, I'm not going to tell you anything else. Because that's how I was feeling at one point. People say they don't understand. They don't understand it. Well, you keep going. You keep teaching. Because now you have a task. Continue in his word. Because eventually, guess what? They would understand. Jerusalem, wait for the gift of my Father. Okay? Another place he said, it's expedient that I go away. When I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, which we understand now is the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you to all truth and bring back to your mind those things that I've taught to you. See? Sometimes we don't realize how simple the Creator was in his revelation. And that's what, think about what he's doing. Because see, we live in a world of what they call higher learning. For example, you talk to some people, and one person I like to throw out there, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus or anything. I think he's a very articulate person, and I really like to hear him speak. Michael Eric Dyson, I think that's his name. Okay. Very articulate, brother. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, of course, but I like to hear him speak because he's very articulate. He be using words. I don't know what these words mean, but he sounds educated. and he's saying it now jokingly. Kind of reminds me of this skit that was on In Living Color years ago. We had the two prisoners. They were using all the big words and stuff like that, like they was educated and stuff like that. But anyway, I mean, So when you think about, we live in a world where people think about people being educated, it's based on using a lot of big terms and things like that. When you talk about higher learning and the ways of the Most High, he's not taking us up to there. He said, hold up. Let me take y'all back to some real simple truths. How I was revealing. I wasn't doing all this. See, man did that. Man gets involved. Man complicates the matters. And man makes things more difficult than it has to be. So now coming back to the Most High, that's why he talks about the old path so much. We are returning to the old path. The old path is going back to the basics. In the letter that was written to the Hebrews, he said, this is something that one of the brothers mentioned last week. Matter of fact, let's read that. That's coming from Hebrews chapter 5. That's a very important point. Because it happened among Israel. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to go down to verse 11. Listen to what he says. Let me brighten this up a little bit. All right. 5:11, he says, when he says, of whom we have many things, he's talking about the Messiah, okay? He says, and hard to be uttered. He's saying, it's difficult for us. We got a lot of things we're going to say, we want to say about this Messiah. It's hard for us to say it, seeing you are dull of hearing. In other words, go back to those names we looked at. You are not possessing one of the characteristics of Israel. And when he says that, he said it in the context, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Yah. Now think about what's happened. Let's add something to that before we go any further. Messiah, when he was talking to the Pharisees, the Zadokim, Pharisees and Sadducees, right? He said, y'all search the scriptures, y'all think in them, y'all have eternal life. Y'all don't even realize that those very same scriptures are talking about me. Why is that? In another place he said to them, how you make void the commandments of the Most High by your traditions. He said, serving the Most High has now become the commandments of men. That's what y'all basing it on. So they started adding things and they started changing things. So when you add it, that's why he said, go back in the Torah, don't add to my word, don't take away from my word. But this is what Israel did. They added things and they added things and they added things. So now people are in disarray because they think they're serving the creator when in actuality you're only serving the rabbi. The rabbi that put this up here and you serving him now. You're not serving the creator. So he says here, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Why is that? Because y'all not hearing the word anymore. Y'all more focused on Rabbi so-and-so said this in the name of Rabbi such-and-such. That's what y'all worried about. Y'all not even concerned with thus saith Yahweh anymore, because that's supposed to be the authority. Said, and that person said, unless he was a prophet speaking in the name of Yahweh. He says, verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers. At this point, y'all supposed to be teaching the world, Israel. That's what he's saying. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yah. What are you talking about? He's talking about going back to the basics. Y'all lost track. Think about it. See, we're getting there. Right now, in our lessons, we're tracking the history of Israel. And I give praise, glory, and honor to the Most High for leading us that way. Start with Bereshit and move through the entire history that we have of our forefathers. Right now, we're at the point where they come out of the Babylonian captivity. The Medians and the Persians are in power at that time. But right after that, we're going into the Grecian Empire. See, that right now, there's no Pharisees mentioned. There's no Sadducees mentioned. But Israel, they're divided. We can see the division there, because even when you had the group that was coming up to build and reconstruct the temple, you had some who were against that. So we see division there, but that division is going to spread. And that happens during the Grecian and the Roman Empire, when you have these other sects that rise up. Okay, so he says again, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yah, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So just imagine, if in your mind you are inundated by all of the opinions of man. Think about the Bible. Think about when we come in. Our knowledge or whatever we thought we knew about the Bible, what was it based on? It was based on the King James Version, correct? We came in thinking the Creator was, his name was Lord God, okay? We came in thinking the Son of God name was Jesus. We came in thinking that the Holy Day was the first day of the week, Sunday. We came in thinking that Easter was all right and Christmas was all right and eating that swine was just fine. We thought all that stuff was all right. We didn't realize these things were contrary to the ways of the Most High. We didn't realize that. But now that we come into this way, we learn the basics and the principal things. So he had the first teacher to us from the version we understand, King James Version. Okay? Okay, y'all been walking long enough now. Let me take y'all another step. Let's go a little bit beneath the surface and see what was originally said. See, we were introduced to that when we first came in. When we come to find out that in the places where we see certain names written a certain way, it represented this, it represented that, which we're going to get into. Okay? But now we're starting to see, hold up. It says this here, and it says this in the Hebrew, and this doesn't say what this says, so all these years, I've been studying this and practicing this, and that's been wrong. That's where we are. When we start to go back to the simpler ways that the Most High has given, it may seem difficult at the start, but if you just continue, that's all, continue, then he'll open up your heart and he'll open up your mind and he'll help us to understand the simplicity of his work. That's what it is. It's the simplicity of it. And once you get back to the basics, guess what? Somebody coming from any of these versions can never tell you what thus saith Yahweh, because you know exactly what he said in the language he spoke it in. And I'm still not promoting becoming a Hebrew scholar in no way, shape, or form. Just off, become familiar with looking up these different terms and looking back into the language and seeing what exactly what it says. Okay, and just to add to that, well, hold up, I don't know how to do that. Well, guess what? That's what the teachers are supposed to be doing. Do the research, do the study, come and bring it before the people. And what y'all supposed to do, take the information that you get and rehearse it. That's what you do. Sure, but the Bible does say study to show yourself approved. Exactly. What are you going to study? You're going to study what the teacher tells you to study. That's what you study. Anybody in this congregation who goes on YouTube or Blog Talk or anything else and listen to something somebody else said, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. And I'm speaking from example. Years ago, I used to be one of the ones sitting up the front with the tape recorder, taping Rabbi, taking that same tape home, making copies for other people sometimes, and listening to those tapes and rehearsing what was being taught. And I'm saying that for a reason. And it's not in no way, shape, or form boasting in myself. It's boasting in the fact that Abba has given us a process. He set teachers. He said, you want to know what the Torah say? Seek it from the priest lips. That doesn't mean you don't have the right to open up the word, because the Bible is all over the place. See, it wasn't that way years ago. Everybody that's going to go to the corner store and buy a scroll, it wasn't like that. The priest had the sacred writings. That's why he had school, and they would teach the people from these sacred writings. Now everybody can get a Bible. But see, and that's a two-edged sword. it's good in one way because more people have access to the word. It's bad because they have access to King James Version or Gideon's Version or somebody else's version and then getting the watered down version opposed to the truth of the Most High. And people are basing their doctrine. Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. The whole doctrine based on a mistranslation of the name. The name was mistranslated. An entire denomination is based on that. Think about that. Creator name is not Jehovah. But you got millions of Jehovah's Witnesses out there based on that. An error. Think about it. That's the problem with it. You see? But anyway, information that is given to you, rehearse that information. And as teachers, only got one here today, it's the responsibility to make sure that when we present that information, we're presenting it right to the people. Okay? But anyway, let's move on. A few more minutes. So with this being said, all right, with the name Yahudah, with the name Yusef, he's teaching us about what he's going to do. Yah, he is praised. That's what the name Yahudah actually means. Yah adds. Or Yahusef, Yah, he adds. Okay? In other words, who praises the Most High? That's one of the characteristics of Israel. If you are really a member of the nation, you know who you're going to be praising? You're going to give praise to Yah. That's who you're going to praise. If you're really a member of the nation, you're also going to understand that the Creator, Yah, is going to add people. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And that's just looking at what the names of the people represent. Just the names. How much more when we get into the stories? How much more if we put the numbers up here for these letters? How much more? Okay? But anyway, that being said, and I hope everybody that's listening, paying attention, you want to know the ways of the Most High? Have faith that I'm going to teach you by those whom he's called to be his teachers. And let me say this too. And we're going to see an example of this today. Doesn't mean that there's not other people out there outside of the congregation who's not teaching the truth. I'm not going to say that. Okay? I can't speak on what they're teaching because I don't know. Now, we've come across some people in the outset, I'm not going to say any names, when we fellowship, hey, they were pretty good teachers. But now, as some time passed, they done went a whole different direction. Who's leading them? Who's leading them? Think about it. Who's leading these people? We've come across many different people in our past throughout the years. And some of them have good messages and they got good teaching, but where are they being led? And how do we know? Look at what they're practicing. Look at what's going on in their lives. Who's leading them? And I'm talking about things that are blatant disregard for what the Torah teaches. Blatant. So are they still, or do you still believe they're being led by the Most High? When they're so way off track. So when we first came across them, hey, they sounded like they was all right. That being said, Shemut, names, and these are the names, right? Are there any other names significant within the scroll of Shemut? Yes, there are. Mention one name. You have the tetragrams. I'm going to. The Yod, the He, the Wav, and the He. Okay? One, as was mentioned, this is called the tetragrammaton. All right? Tetragrammaton. Tetra means four, grammaton, letters. Okay? Now, in the Masoretic text, the Tetragrammaton, Masoretic text. Now, originally, and when you look at the ancient scrolls, Hebrew was not written with the little dots and dashes around it that you see in the modern Hebrew. It wasn't written that way. But as an aid to help when they're reading Hebrew who weren't familiar with the language, they developed the system of vowel points. Okay? Now, when it came to this name, Yod-Heh-Wah-Peh, this name was considered to be a name that was too sacred to be pronounced. Yod-Heh-Wah-Peh. So, there are two things that you're going to see when you're looking at the translations. You're going to see this written like this, Lord, in all caps, God. Or you're going to see it written like this, Lord, and God, in all caps. Okay? Now, whenever you come across the L-O-R-D in all caps connected to the name God, in the Hebrew, it was this term, Yod-Heh-Wah-Peh, Lord. It was actually Yahweh, and it was connected to the term God. But what they did, they put the vowel points to the word Adonai around it. So that they put the vowel points to the word Adonai around Yod-Heh-Wah-Peh. So when you see this in the Hebrew, you wouldn't say Yahweh Elohim, you would say Adonai Elohim. Okay? Now, when you think about the vowel points to the Adonai, it adds to, I believe it's along Louis' line. I have to look it up. So they would pronounce it like Adonai. So it would be like Yahuwah. If that's where this pronunciation comes from. Okay? When you got the pronunciation or the vowel point for the term Elohim, that's because in the Hebrew it said Adonai Yahweh. That's why the G-O-D is written in all caps, because this was Adonai Yahweh. Again, they don't want you to say Adonai Yahweh. They want you to say Adonai Elohim. So they're going to put the vowel points to the name Elohim around this. So this would be right here, like Elohim Yehovah. And if you look in your Strong's, you have two formations of this. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find that. I meant to put that on my paper, but that was an oversight. My apologies. I'll get that to you next week, because there are two different ways that you can look this word up. One of them, you can see the vowel points is one thing, and they have Yehovah. And then the other way is with the vowel point that says Yehovah. Okay? That's because the one had the vowel points of Adonai, Yehovah, and the other one with the vowel points for Elohim, Yehovah. So point being, the reason why we got a lot of the mistranslations or the mispronunciations of the name is because they were trying to prevent people from saying this name, and they put the vowel points around it for Adonai or for Elohim. Okay? So keep that in mind. Whenever you come across the four letters of the capital Lord, that's Yahweh Elohim. Whenever you come across the capital, all caps, for God, that's Adonai Yahweh. In Shemot chapter 3, verses 3-15, it says, "And Moshe said unto Elohim, Behold, when I come to the sons of Israel, and shall say unto them, The mighty one of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto Moshe, Eyeh Asher Eyeh." Now, this is another point of contention among some Hebrews, Israelites, etc. They believe that the name of the Most High is Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Now, here's the problem with that. When you look up that term, Eyeh, in the Hebrew language, it's a real simple thing that you can do. Here's some homework for you. All right? Give me a second. I'm going to write something on the board for you. It is Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. In Exodus 3:14, I'm going to write this word up for you. Let me get this out of the way. Okay, here's the aleph. This is how it's going to look. Aleph, hey. Yod, hey. The name of the Most High, right? I'm going to give you some verses now. Look in Exodus 4:12. If you're going to have to use your Hebrew for this. Exodus 4:12. Go to Joshua 5:5. Let's go to First Samuel 18:18. I'm trying to spread it out a little bit. Isaiah 3:7. Jeremiah 24:7. And let's see. Psalms 51:21. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Psalms 50:21. I'm sorry. 50:21. All right. Now that's six of them. He said that the truth should be established out of two or three witnesses. So we got six of them. So it's double that. All right. What you want to look for where this word appears in the Hebrew. Is that a name? Is that a place where a name would be, or is that simply the phrase "I will be"? And that's what you want to see. And these are just six examples that this word, in and of itself, has been used throughout the Tanakh 40 times. Okay, and see that's the benefit of having the Hebrew word searches. You put the spelling in, and it searches throughout the Tanakh, all of the Old Testament, and shows you every place that this word appeared 40 times. Each of those times that is used, including the one we're looking at, is translated, I will be, or something along the lines of I am, I will be. It's a Hebrew word of existence. You got your two hays again. Remember our parent root, hey, hey? So you still got it there. This time, you add the yod to it, haya, haya. And they added the aleph to the beginning of it, which means I, haya, I will be, I exist. See, that's another little tip that you can learn about the aleph. A lot of times when it's found at the beginning of the word, it means I as a prefix. But so in this particular case, the word I, haya, or they in the modern Hebrew, they say that the aleph is silent, of course, so they pronounce it eh, yeah. Okay, that word up. That's your homework. And this is not so what, you know, we can come back and say, well, I found this. Blah, blah, blah. No, just look it up, and next week I'm going to say, did you see it? And you say, yes. I already know you're going to see it. So, did you see it? Yes. Some of y'all may have seen it today. All right? But I just wanted to mention that because you got a lot of people out here who believe, well, that's the name of the creator. No, it is not. He's making a statement. And what is the statement that he's making? So let's go back to our passage. He says, and Elohim said unto Moshe, I will be that I will be. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the sons of Israel, Ayah has sent me unto you. and see, that's, and they stopped right there. See that? He said, and Yah had sent me unto you. Is he saying that's his name? Because if that's the case, why did you say this next? See, they stopped right there. But in verse 15, it says, and Elohim said, moreover, he ain't stopped talking. This is in the conversation unto Moshe. Thus shalt thou say unto the sons of Israel, Yahweh, Yahweh, mighty one of your father, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Yitzhak, the mighty one of Yaakov, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Think about that. And this is my memorial unto all generations. So how important is that name? Think about the passage we looked at last week in Malachi, when he was talking about, he was listening. He was paying attention to those who gathered together, who spoke to one another often, who thought on his name. Huh? In Psalms 135:13, it states, thy name, O Yahweh, forever. Thy memorial, O Yahweh, throughout all generations. It says in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 5, even Yahweh, mighty one of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. So we got in three different places that it says it's his memorial. And what is a memorial? What you choose to be remembered by. His memorial. But I have a passage for you. I'm going to stop in a minute. You can look up the word memorial, number 2143. The word is zakir, a memento, recollection, commemoration, etc. Okay? Now, I'm going to leave y'all with a question. In addition to looking this stuff up, here's your homework. And we'll pick back up and deal with these names that's mentioned in Shemut next week. I'm going to read a passage to you. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Okay. It says, then Yahweh said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim spake unto Moshe and said unto him, I am Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham. And even with that, you know, sorry to cut off like that. But when he says in verse 2, I am Yahweh, you know, when you get to that entire nation, when he said, Ani Yahweh. Oh, no, he said, Anoki Yahweh. I am Yahweh. He didn't say, Anoki, yeah. He didn't say that. He said, Anoki Yahweh. Okay? He says, again, Exodus 6 and 2, and Elohim spake unto Moshe and said unto him, I am Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Yitzhak, and unto Yaakov by El Shaddai, or God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. Your homework, what does he mean by that? And I'm going to stop right there for today. What does he mean, but by my name Yahweh was I not known to them? And we'll pick back up with that next week. Anybody have any questions? Here's what you do. All your sisters, if you have any questions, talk to your husbands. If your husbands do not know the answers to the question, they can talk to me. If any sister has a question that does not have a husband, you talk to a sister who does have a husband. Again, if that husband does not know the answer, then they can always talk to me. Okay? That way everybody gains understanding and nobody's left out. All right? No questions? All rise. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are Mighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Mighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, Holy One of Yisrael, through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, once again, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing each and every one of us with the opportunity to come before you, to gather together, to study your word, and to give praise to your holy and your precious name. Heavenly Father, that you make your presence known among your people, that we walk with the full assurance that you are indeed our mighty one. We do not want to go to the right or to the left, but we want to maintain steadfastness on the narrow and straight path of righteousness, Heavenly Father. Help us, lead us, guide us, strengthening us by your Spirit to overcome our weaknesses, to maintain our obedience to your voice and submission to your divine will. These things we humbly and sincerely ask in the name of Yahushua, Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Hallelujah. Amen. All right.